Morning show at East Coast FM. Joining us now is Fintan McCormack, the wine guy. He's been christened, and he's from O'Brien's Wines in Greystones, and it's the bank holiday weekend, and Fintan and the bank holiday seem to go together. How are you, Fintan?
Hi, Declan. How are you?
Okay.
Shocking weather.
Yeah, well, hopefully, they say it's going to be nice and mild, bit of rain and clear up. So we might get into the back garden.
I hope so, yeah, because we have an Italian wine sale on at the moment, Declan, and there's lots and lots of very nice goodies to be had as well. So
tell us about Italy and wine, then. There's so many different regions, isn't there?
Very many different regions as well. Like, traditionally, like Italy would be one of the oldest, kind of after Georgia, the oldest traditional wine-producing country in the world as well. So, I mean, you got everything like from Chiantis, you got Suaves, you have Proseccos, you have wonderful dry wines, you've got Falanginas, you've got wines, there's of course from Sicily, from wines from Puglia, and everything about the food and wine of Italy as well. It's all like, they have, the Italians have an expression called abbinamento, which is a perfect marriage of food and wine as well. So,
right, and is this, you know, it's a very long country. If you're on the Swiss border,
correct, yeah,
up in Lake Como or something, and then you go all the way down to Sicily,
all the way down, yeah.
There's different regions. Does the wine differ?
It does, very much so as well. I mean, like up the very top now, you'd have the likes of the wines of Verona, the Alto Trego region as well, and it creeps right down to Campania. Then you go right down again towards the very, very tip-top of Italy, the bottom bit, the heel part, which is Puglia as well. So Puglia would be the kind of breadbasket of Italy as well. And of course,
Puglia wine is nice.
Sicily, Puglia wine is great. And of course, Sicilian wines as well. They're just delicious as well.
I'm glad you told me it was Puglia, not Puglia or something. But anyway, and Sicily, of course, as you say, coming into its own as well.
Very much so. Yeah, well, actually, we're going to finish up with Sicilian red today, Declan, as well.
Okay, so what have you got there?
Okay, so start off with, of course, a classic Pinot Grigio as well. So Pinot Grigio, the Italians have actually made it their own, really. So Pinot Grigio would have originated in Burgundy in the 13th century, and kind of went out of fashion over the years as well. So, and it's still grown. It's called Pinot Gris in Alsace in the east of France. So this one comes.
So it was robbed, was it?
Borrowed. Yeah, that's what happens in the wine world as well. Because if you think like the Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand would be like kind of borrowed or improved or enhanced by, you know, traditionally from Loire and France, and we can way over to New Zealand. So very different style. Now this one's lovely.
Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio as well. So this one,
is that in the French language, is it? Still. This is Pinot.
They call it Pinot Gris in France.
All right.
Yeah. They dropped the Pinot Grigio style as well. So but like this is just such a friendly white wine as well. It's probably the top selling Italian white at the moment. So I mean this one is just like full of fruit, lots of lovely pear apple fruit. Really soft, slightly off dry, gorgeous style as well. And this winery is actually the Musella Winery. They're making this one as well. So style-wise, this one's just absolutely delicious as well. So if the sun comes out, we're going to have a nice kind of like, you know...
That's a sit-in-the-garden one, isn't it?
Sit-in-the-garden. It's just a sippy white as well. It frees the life out if you like as well, but the fruit will definitely bear up. It's gorgeous style. It's really delicious.
Right. So much is that one?
€10, Declan.
Right.
And that's really, really all there now for the money as well. And it comes in kind of a very kind of dark green bottle as well. Mainly that a dark green bottle would help protect it from the light. That's why you see them very, very often as well. Very simple label, white label, little red font and a little crest there as well. But gorgeous wine for €10. You can't go wrong with that as well.
Right. Get the sun out.
Get the sun out. Well, I hope so, Declan, because we're moving over to rosé next now. So here we are. We're starting the rosé season.
Now, tell me the pronunciations of rosés in all the different places.
Different places. Okay, well, the most famous rosé, of course, would be in fashionable, would be Côte de Provence, Provence rosé. The likes of, and then, of course, in Bordeaux, you have like Clairet wines as well. In Spain, you have Rosada. Rosso in Italy as well, and it's made pretty much around the world as well. But style-wise, I mean, anything.
And what is rosé? Do they just get a bottle of red, a bottle of white, mix it all up, put the Billy Joel song playing in the background, and here we have a rosé, is it?
Unfortunately not, Declan, no. So you can imagine, like, you pick up a red grape in a supermarket, okay, and not in the supermarket, you probably get arrested, but you do that at home, like, pick up a red grape, I squeeze it in your hand, the juice is actually clear. So what happens is the skin contact has to macerate with the juice. So we've actually got one here called 11 Minutes Rosé. This one's from Italy. We'll get to that in a sec. So it's like pigment and extraction comes out as well. So it's only for a short amount of time, because if it's left too long, especially with red grapes, it'll start to become a red wine over time as well.
Oh, right. So it's intervention early. Yeah.
Intervention early as well. So basically it's like almost like a blush as well. So a blush would be kind of, another style of wine from California. But this one is called 11 Minutes as well. This is a blend of Carmenere, Trebbiano di Lugana, and a little bit of Corvina as well. So it's a lovely, lovely. It's from the Pasco Winery. Very beautiful bottle. It's kind of a small, stubby bottle as well, but gorgeous kind of big circle on it, and salmon pink in colour. And this is just delicious as well. This is lovely.
Are you a rosé fan?
I am, yes. Like, rosé is really, really polyvalent, like when it comes to food as well. It's lovely with salads. It's lovely with cheeses. It's lovely with barbecue fare when we get the weather. And
it's a lovely back garden.
Exactly.
You're doing everything right for the weather.
Everything's right. Positive waves, Declan. Positive waves. That's what you have to try and do. But it's a lovely, lovely style as well. I mean, 11 Minutes, this is our top-selling rosé at the moment. And we're starting a rosé sale as of in a couple weeks' time as well. So that's coming up. We've got a lot of really nice goodies coming in, from France and from Spain as well. And this style, this 11 Minutes, so it's absolutely delicious as well. It's really lifted. It's pale salmon pink in colour. Gorgeous style. Rich fruits as well, but lovely kind of slight off-dry finish as well. Very refreshing and lovely.
Mm.
Very delicious.
So much of that?
That one down is down to $14.96. And it's a very, very good one as well. It's really excellent.
Yeah. I know people who love rosé and they always go to 11 Minutes. It's a good one.
It's a very lovely style, actually. Yeah, it's really great. So, finally then, we're going to move over then to Sicily, of course.
Puglia. No. So, Sicily. Oh, Nero. Yeah, I've had that one before. I like that one.
It's a very good wine, yeah. So, this one, because Sicily's famous for, Archimedes.
How do you pronounce this?
This one is called Nero Oro.
Okay.
So, this is an appassimento as well. So, Sicily's famous, for solids, Archimedes, and, of course, Mount Etna, and Nero the Volo grape as well. So, this is made using the appassimento method. Pass your glass, Declan. And this, appassimento, basically, the grapes are actually kind of left to almost kind of semi-dry out. So when it's pressed, the juice is really, really intense as well. Big extraction of flavour. Lovely, really rich chocolatey notes as well. But again, it regains acidity. And that lovely, lovely, lovely chocolatey hue as well. And your aromatics are just gorgeous in this wine. Once you get your nose in the glass as well, you're just really, really, really divine. And it has that kind of ever so slight residual sweetness, but it's really, really ripe fruit as well. It's absolutely delicious. Now, that would anything with barbecue, anything with lamb chops, anything like that, really, really, really delicious as well. Again, salads and cheese is fantastic as well. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous wine.
Tell us about the debate between screw caps and corks and things. Spain haven't really adopted, say, for example, screw caps.
They have for a certain amount of their Albarinos as well. But I also remember there was years ago, there was a very good debate. I was at in France, and there was a Russian Hermitage called Alexis Lechine. And somebody asked him, what's the best way to open a wine? And he said, as quick as possible. So really a cork, well, the corks are becoming quite expensive now as well to produce. And there's different types of cork. You see this one here with the 11 minutes section, that's called a self-enclosure. Or that one there, it's kind of a little capsule. There's really no evidence to prove that that the corks can actually taint the wine as well, because they allow the wine to breed, and over time a cork can become infected as well. For example, you keep wine in a rack in a very hot kitchen or something like that, the cork will dry out if it's kept vertically. But if it's lying down on the side, it'd be a good chance of keeping the wine longer. But screw taps are keep the wines quite fresh as well. So I mean, there is old wines that drink very, very well. And it's really a convenience as well. I mean, it's crack it open and you can put the screw back on the top as well. So style-wise, it can make the wines quite fresh as well. But there is, Portugal is having quite a few problems with some diseased cork trees as well. And it is very, very expensive too. So, but I think over time now, we will see more and more screw tops as well. But people love the inevitable pop of a cork as well. And you don't get that effect with a screw top, unfortunately. Yeah. So
okay.
Until they master that, then perhaps, also would be the base as well. But then box wines are becoming very, very popular now as well.
Are they okay?
They're more than okay, yeah.
How long do they last for?
Depends, again.
in a certain house. Okay.
A certain house, yeah. But the wines can actually last a couple of weeks as well, very, very safely. We did a port of six now in a box, yeah.
Nice.
And it's
is that cheaper because the transportation, the weight must be
ever so slightly cheaper, yeah. So it was very, very good value too as well. But people are looking for that more and more often as well, because it's obviously with transport costs now as well, and glass, and it's getting kind of dry goods as well. It's becoming quite expensive now to actually, you know, get glass and stuff and paperware and silverware and everything else for wine. So, but box wine is convenient as well.
Right.
And okay. The quality, it's not like it was years ago, like it would have been really, really awful stuff as well. But
yeah, in Spain, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes, like we will have, you know, eventually we'll see wines in cans as well and stuff, and there's different versions.
You can't imagine that.
Yeah, but again, it's like kind of convenience as well, Declan. So, I mean, you never thought you'd have
a can of wine.
Yeah, but then people will always say like a can of beer. What's better, a can of beer or a bottle of beer as well? So,
yeah,
again, it's bottle is a bit better too. So, but again, it's a very, very old school debate. And the way things are going with climate change and the way things are going with good prices as well. So we all have to adapt little things as we go along as well.
Okay. All right, Fintan, tell us about big bargains in Italian wine then.
Yeah, so
for
our
the
Italian wine sale now is on for the weekend and next week as well, so there's lots and lots to go. About 150 Italian wines we have in total on offer as well.
Wow,
so
yeah.
Great offers as well, pretty much everything's on offer. And of course some of the wines will be on tasting as well. A lot of the shops are doing their own independent tastings as well, so do pop along to some of our stores in Bray and out in Carrick Mines etc as well, and of course in Greystones. And yeah, there's some fabulous offers as well. There's the Rinforzo, there's a box deal on that, six for €99
Fantastic.
As well.
So you'll all be
Chiantis as well. So we're just fingers crossed for a bit of nice weather as well. But it's a bank holiday and we're a bit more relaxed.
it's sort of, I know we had Easter, but it's the real start of the bank holiday.
Yeah, so, yeah. And yeah. Hopefully now we're in the kind of the summer buzz as we go along as well.
Hopefully, fingers crossed for the weekend.
Touch wood.
Anyway, thanks for coming in, Fintan McCormick.
Pleasure, Declan. Thanks so much.
O'Brien's. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend.